Welcome to the Co-Parenting Success Series, how to co-parent and help your kids laugh and heal and thrive after divorce. I'm Polly Tatum, and I'm your host throughout the series. All the experts on this series, they are all so passionate about providing really helpful and useful information and resources on how you can co-parent with your former partner or spouse. And if you're already co-parenting, tips and strategies on how you can continue to co-parent. I'm so excited to tell you about today's expert, Dr. Ann Brown. Ann, welcome.
Thank you, Polly. It's delightful to be here.
Wonderful. And you're from, let me see if I can get this right, Sausalito, California.
Correct? Sausalito, California, it is.
Great. And formerly from Aspen, Colorado. She is a psychotherapist, speaker, coach, and author of The Backbone Power, The Science of Saying No. For over 20 years, she served as the trusted advocate and advisor to influential corporate leaders, trial attorneys, athletes, leaders, physicians, and their families whose connections extended far beyond Aspen, Colorado. Combining her own professional experience with that of her no-nonsense mentor, the former Chilean Minister of Finance, political prisoner of, now how do I say that word,
Pinochet,
and corporate business consultant, Dr. Fernando Flores, Brown used a methodology that helped people reveal their blindness and learn to speak authentically, thereby decreasing their suffering and increasing their dignity and authenticity. Brown has been described by one client as having a very caring way of going for the jugular. Dr. Brown is a graduate of the University of Virginia, BS in Nursing, Boston University, Master's in Science in Psychiatric Mental Health and Nursing, and International University, PhD in Addiction Studies. In 1997, Brown has reached a personal goal of obtaining her black belt, and help me with this, Anne.
Sue Bakdo.
Well, let me tell you, very, very impressive. And,
thank you.
You don't want to mess with you.
No.
So that's a wonderful, interesting background.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we'll get right into the questions. So can you tell our listeners, what does normal, healthy co-parenting look like?
Well, today we're going to focus on actually give tips for when you are divorcing a borderline sociopath, narcissistic personality, psychopath. So you want to make the distinction. Normal co-parenting can be done if you are not talking about one of those personality disorders. Normal co-parenting, two people muddle through their divorce. They kind of try to match their households. There's give and take. You know, I need you to cover Friday. Okay, I'll take the next Monday. They can be at functions together. They can discuss things. Communication makes things better. They try, and as they let go of their bitterness, they try to put the child's best interest at heart. That's when you have two personalities that want to have a healthy divorce. It's never easy, but a healthy divorce. Unfortunately, that's not the case when you're divorcing one of these more complicated personality disorders. So that's what we're going to go into next.
Wonderful. And I think that is going to be very helpful for listeners because, like you said, even when parents don't have these personality issues or any type of pathology, it's still a difficult situation to be able to co-parent, and there's a lot of energy and effort that goes into it. So I can't imagine when you're dealing with someone who has some type of pathology or a diagnosis. So I'm certainly glad that you're going to focus on that.
Yes. So if you have someone who's contentious, is one of these personality disorders, always wants to fight, unfortunately, you can't co-parent. The more you try to do that, the more it's going to blow up in your face. You have to parent collaterally. Think of two people in a sandbox playing, and you're trying not to get sand on the other person. And I'll go into this part more, but not the courts haven't caught up with this. And in the same way, we're still attracted to and find ourselves with a sociopath or a narcissistic personality disorder in our lives. The courts, they're charming, they seduce you, and they're not good in the divorce process. And the courts are not good dealing with them because you cannot co-parent. There's a growing body of research studying that says you cannot co-parent with one of these personality disorders. You have to parent collaterally. So the first thing is to recognize that you have this, and the next is to understand that depending upon where you are, the courts may not, they think everybody can be nice, and this is not true with these people. So when you parent collaterally, everything has to be done differently.
Can you sort of talk about, just give us a little bit more definition as to what you mean when you say co-parent, parent collaterally?
So as I said, in the co-parent, you can talk to your partner, you try to negotiate, you try to have similar messages in the house. You can't do any of this when you are co-parenting with a personality disorder. You have to have boundaries. And unfortunately, this type of personality doesn't like boundaries. So they may come to the house and, you know, scream and curse at you. And you need to put a stop to that. You need to not allow that to happen. You have to hang up. You have to close the door. You have to de-escalate. You have to speak monotone. All your communication, I personally like all transitions to happen through the school system during the school year. So drop off Monday morning, and if you're on week on, week off, the other parent picks up Friday afternoon. That isn't always possible, so you have to manage those times. But you're going to have setups for parental alienation syndromes. They will try to turn the kids against you. You have to speak the truth to the kids. I understand that you're hearing things about me, and this may not, this must be difficult for you. You already have to go to two houses, but you know, you have to tell the children what's the truth and what isn't the truth. And that's difficult depending upon the age of the child and the content of the material. It's always better to get into therapy, but into therapy with a therapist who understands that you are not going to be able to co-parent, but you're going to have to parent collaterally.
So, Dr. Brown, can I ask you a question? Because there's all kinds of information out there for parents. And in terms of speaking the truth, can you just elaborate on that? So you're not advocating for putting the child in the middle, or telling the children about adult issues, are you? What do you mean by speaking the truth when you're dealing with a parent that has these diagnosed? Sometimes it's undiagnosed. So that, I think, that's the hard part. If a parent thinks the other parent has some type of psychiatric disorder, but they're not diagnosed, then
right.
How do you
and the courts don't help because they won't order things differently.
Right.
But if one parent is, in terms of money, you can, say this is an adult conversation. The other parent has been provided for. I mean, you tell as little as possible but you don't allow the lies, because that's another diagnosis of another symptom of these personality disorders.
So you don't bash the other parent. You're not bashing the other parent.
The other parent. You're correcting lies.
Right.
And you're judging what you say based on the age of the child, and you can label them adult conversations. We can discuss this more when you're an adult, but not everything that you're hearing is accurate.
Okay. Great. Thanks for clarifying. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think that was a good point to kind of expand upon.
Yes.
So you were talking about, I think you were starting to get into, you know, different strategies and tips when you're co-parenting with someone who's contentious and they always want to fight. How do you handle that?
So, again, you minimize contact. Keep all communications to emails. Keep your emotions to yourself. This is where you're not your authentic self. You just, it's all got to be business. You don't go into, you know, I will pick them up. No, I will not do that. No, we can't change. You don't go into stories. It just is very limited communication.
Great. And so you talked about a little bit what you prefer in terms of transitions for the child, but we know that transitions can be difficult for everybody involved. So what are some of the other tips and strategies that you recommend?
So I have had clients where, coming from the sociopath's house, it's just so confusing for a child. If you can only imagine that they have to go from one house to the other, they don't know which of their stuff is going to be there, and the rules are all different. So if you can help the child, remember in this house, this is the house where we talk things out. This is a house where we don't scream. I had one mother who would take her children out the door and say, okay, we're going to start over again, because in mom's house, this is a house where we talk things out. This is the house where we – and she would go over the difference and then do a little ritual so that the children, oh, yeah, this is mom's house. This is what we do here. I think that's very, depending upon the age of the child, very helpful. You also need to give the child their own time. You know, when they're younger, that's sort of playing with their little stuffies, and children do great with play therapy. When they're older, you know, in their room reading, children should never be the messengers. Don't interrogate your children. So I think if you just try to understand, their world fell apart, the family as they knew it is not there, and now they have to negotiate two houses. They don't know where their stuff is. So with the transitions, as much as you can have double everything, do that, and just make sure that the child doesn't live like a divorced child. The sooner a child can get back to being normal, playing their sports, doing their homework, and just being a child, the better their life is going to be. So, go ahead.
No, sorry about that. That was great advice. Can I just ask you, because I get this a lot in my practice as a divorce and family mediator, where a parent feels like their children are being interrogated, but a lot of times it's the child wants to share. They, you know, come back and forth between two households, and I'm not talking about in a split-in situation, but they are saying, oh, we did this, this, and this at dad's, we did this, this, and this at mom. So they're like little chatterboxes because they want to share their day. They just like they would come home from school and share their day, or come from an extracurricular activity. And I think the tendency for parents is to, you want to listen to your child and you want to, you know, ask them more questions so that they know that you're interested in what they have to say. But how do you walk that fine line between you know, being involved and present in their conversation, but not have it come across as interrogation.
I think in a healthy family, the children, if they feel safe enough and comfortable, and they can share about the other house, I think a good response is, I am so glad you had so much fun. Oh, that sounds like such a great time. Just let them, I mean, be enthusiastic for their good time. Because remember, they're going through a divorce. It's not a good time. So anytime they can report something that they enjoyed, you can get behind the enjoyment. Now, in one of these other houses, I watched a young adolescent, because she knew that one of the parents would be upset if she had a good time at the other house. She used to just say things like, yeah, we didn't do anything exciting. Yeah, it was awful. Yeah. And the parent who had done backflips for this child couldn't understand. So I had to explain that's how she is surviving, because if she gives that other parent too much information about what a great time, the parent is going to cut it down and cut her down. And she's learned that. So in this situation, I think you can get behind the enthusiasm, not necessarily the content. It sounds like something you would enjoy. Oh, I know how you love that. Oh, and you had chocolate cake, but not, well, did your mother fasten your seatbelt, or what time did you go to bed? Or
exactly. Thank you for giving those specific examples. And then in the reverse, the flip side of that, what if they're reporting something negative? How should the other parent react to that, especially dealing with a parent who has these, personality disorders?
The way I coach people is optimism about, you know, if it's a normal family, I would say, you know, I know you and your mom, or you and your dad can work this out. If it's not, then I would try to give tools. How did you handle it? What was upsetting, or how did you get into trouble? Unfortunately, kids don't usually report the difficult stuff. So we have to kind of ferret that out. But if you hear any situations, and think about what you went through with that parent, because whatever you went through, the child is going to be going through.
Right.
So if that parent is interrogating the child about the time that they had with you, you know, the child's got to figure that out, because the personality disordered parent is going to take that information in the same way that they took that information about you and then slammed you with it.
Exactly.
So the child's going to have to figure out, yeah, it was okay. Yeah, do sort of what my adolescent girl did, is just minimize. You know, and the more, you know, boys can get away with, yeah, nothing, okay. I don't mean to be stereotyped, but girls are a little more chattier.
Exactly. And it just depends on the personality, I guess, of your child. Before I leave this particular topic on transition, so you talked about, you like the transitions Monday through Friday. What about, how do you handle the weekends? How do you recommend that in a family that has some, mental health issues or personality dysfunction when they're laterally parenting?
I think you can be at the door, but you don't go out and you don't have any interactions with the other parent. I mean, you just be at the door, open the door, welcome your child, but you really limit the contact with the other person, because they will use it to their advantage, you can be sure.
I see a lot in traditional litigation where there is such high conflict, and the transition takes place at a police station. Can you just speak to that? It's not domestic violence. It's just they have a lot of high conflict. I can see the scenario where there might be domestic violence taking place at the police station, but from a child's perspective, can you just, you know, offer an opinion on that?
I wouldn't. First of all, what is the message? If you're sending me to this person that you need a police station, then what's going on? I mean, I'm a little kid. That's
right.
Pretty scary. If you need a police station for me to get from one of my parents to the other, what are you sending me into to figure out? Maybe there's a good reason. The only thing I've ever heard is supervised visitation where there is concern, and you usually try to find someone who can protect the child but, you know, isn't quite a scary situation. If you have a friend that gets along with both of the parents, the supervised can best be done with that person because they're going to de-escalate and they have a relationship with both of the parents. But I have never heard of the police as a transition, and I just have to wonder what's going on in the child's mind about requiring a police station for places then you're going to leave me alone with these people, both
exactly.
of them.
Exactly. And then I like your comment about, you know, just having the parent at the house, at the door. Neither parent goes into the other parent's house when you're doing the collateral parenting.
Yes.
And there's very little interaction.
Yes.
What about some tips and strategies where there has to be some interaction? So what do you recommend for that? I know you said email, but let's say if there's some emergency and you have to communicate with the other parent.
Emergencies, you have to make the call. But you are specific. We're at the emergency room. He's fine. He is getting stitches. Just wanted you to know. Whatever you need, you just keep it no nonsense, not how are you doing, and we were at the blah, 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 doing blah, blah, blah. You just give the facts. Here's where we are. He's fine. He's being stitched up. Just wanted you to know.
What about the scenario where, so let's say they are alternating weeks, they have a shared custodial arrangement, and a change comes up with the schedule, the child's schedule or the parent's schedule. How can parents handle that?
Usually in the collateral, there's probably not going to be a lot of flexibility. You would do it through email. But it, with collateral, it's usually specifically everything is spelled out. Every other Halloween, every other Easter, I get the birthday this year, you get them. You don't usually expect people to do joint birthdays, joint Halloweens, joint any of that. They each have their own.
What I've seen in those types of situations as well is, depending on the age of the child, you have your own backup for
yes.
care, so
yes.
your own babysitter. But I've also seen in the collateral situations and co-parenting situation, parents might have the same sitter or the same nanny. So the nanny is consistent, or the babysitter, the child care provider is consistent at both parents' homes.
Yes, and that probably works better with the co-parent. With the collateral, it's probably better that they have their own
backup.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously great if there is someone who can negotiate those rough waters, because then the child has that one consistent person.
Exactly. And then any other advice or tips on how a parent can help their child when there's that type of a volatile situation?
I think if you can remember, children want to be normal. They want tools. They want to get to whatever their passions are. So if your child is upset, try to understand that this is a difficult situation. Try to give them room for that, but also enforce the boundaries in your house. Allow the frustration when there's things that they can't handle. If you overhear something that's going on in the other house, try to get a way to give the child tools to deal with it. The more they can channel through their play, their friends, their sports, their music, their theater, whatever, and then I'm just a big proponent of if they have a therapist, but a therapist, not a therapist who's going to try to promote co-parenting when that's not possible. It has to be a therapist who understands that this is the child is trying to sort out a very contentious situation. And they basically need tools, the same kind of tools we're giving to the parent on how to set boundaries with this volatile person. So the child needs that as well. And just understand that as the child gets older, there are more conversations you can have to clear up some of this stuff. But
right.
We need to keep the conversations appropriate for the age.
So what about, that brings up an interesting point. So older child is much more verbal. But a younger child, and I'm not talking about an infant to, you know, a toddler, but a younger child in those early, you know, elementary school age, so maybe four preschool to third or fourth grade, what are some of the specific tools or something more specific to that age group that a parent can help their child through?
Well, I'm a big, I think children work out a lot of stuff through play. So a lot of what they're trying to work out, they're going to figure out. I mean, we know children take different roles in the families, and there's the acting out one, and there's the people pleaser, and there's the diplomat, and there's the jokester, and they're going to take on a role, and they're going to figure out, okay, this works with this person. And, you know, it just may be a lot of silence that they just answer what they need to answer, and then they spend a lot of time with their friends, and they enroll in sports as much as they can and do their homework, or they, you know, go and play. I just think that they will try to avoid interactions with that parent as much as they can. And if they have comfort animals or whatever while they're at that house, and just keep them busy. But then it's always what we say is, you know, do you stay in the house with a dysfunctional personality disorder and try to protect the child, or do you leave and give the child normal for half the time? And different people will do different things. And the best thing you can do is, if you've gone through the divorce, is give the best normal you can. Because when they get into somebody like me, into my office, I'm going to try and find who the good guys were and who the bad guys were, so to speak. And, you know, it was easy at dad's house, or it was whichever one is the parent who understands. I could talk things out, but I had to avoid the other parent. I had to not share my life. It was very lonely there. We can work with that later on. But probably during the time, play therapy, particularly with a therapist, and just giving a child space to talk if they want, but not interrogate. You don't want to put more anxiety, because you know that week, if that's what it is, has been very anxiety-provoking for the child.
Exactly. So last question for you, which I think is a very tough question. But I think listeners definitely want to hear your advice and information on this. Why don't the courts see that the other parent or spouse is manipulative? Why don't they see that? Why don't they recognize that?
again, if you could go back and look at how did you get seduced? I mean, because these people show up well in court often. They're charming. They're going to do whatever they think to get what they want. So whatever seduced you in is where the courts are still, and they don't have time, and they don't have money, and they don't know how to evaluate. I mean, you know, as therapists, as lawyers, as mediators, you got to ferret out who that person, who's sincere, who's telling the truth, who's going to keep their agreements, who really does care the most about the child. Well, the courts have to do that too, and they really haven't. What I recommend is finding the people. I think William Eddy, he's president of the High Conflict Institute. He's written a book. Tina Swithin has written books about this. You got to Google, find people. It'll be like a breath of fresh air for you because they will write about you and what you're going through. And going to court is like your knots in your stomach because they see this charming person and, you know, he looks better than a beater or an abuser, but it's emotional abuse. And so you need to get through all of that as best you can and then really try to set up your household to be as normal as possible, stay out of the courts, but find lawyers, mediators, therapists who understand that you're going to be doing a different deal than co-parenting. You're going to have to collateral parent. And then, you know, read the people who are trying to develop evaluation systems for the court so that they can evaluate faster, smarter. So you don't feel so alone. I think half the battle is getting knowledge and, you know, you feel like you're crazy at times because why can't you get along with this person? Well, right. You can't because it's not going to happen.
And
they don't want the same thing you do.
You're right. And I just want to clarify that this is gender neutral. So it could be either parent that has the you know, mental health issues or the
that could be the wife, the mother, it could be the father.
Exactly. Well, this was wonderful. Thank you for all this great information. And I just want you to talk about a little bit the free gift that you're sharing with our listeners today.
Well, I have a website, www.backbonepower.com. I've got lots of articles on there, parenting, dating, sociopaths, how to outsmart them. And my book is also about having a backbone to deal with these situations. And so if you go to my website, you will see that you can download the first chapter, and that's totally free to you. But I also, and sign up for my newsletter because I send out these articles totally free to you about being a better parent, how to deal with these situations. I just want people to get the information because that's the beginning of healing from the trauma of divorce. And when you heal, your children heal.
Oh, great point. Well, Dr. Brown, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Polly, for doing this. This is an incredible gift that you're giving to people.
Thank you.